be looking at one verse, verse 11. In light of the fact that this is a new year, I want to kind of spend a little time encouraging you in it. And so, and draw to your attention some things that we need to be mindful of as we approach this new year. We're right on the cusp. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, that's in the Old Testament. Just in case you didn't know. 1 and 2 Chronicles, 1 and 2 Kings, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, you know. All right, let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the privilege that we enjoy as we come to this new year to know and be confident, Lord, that Your mercies are new every morning. And Your grace towards us, Lord, because Jesus took what we deserve, the wrath and the judgment that we deserve for our sins on that cross. He hung there in our place, the sinless Son, to pay the price for our sins, that we might be treated and accepted as those that are sinless because of His blood that was shed there for us. And so as we gather today as a family into this facility, we gather as Your church. This building is not the church. We are the church. And God, I pray that You would speak to us today. As our Heavenly Father, Your Word says, where two or more are gathered in Your name, that You are in the midst. So whether we feel it or not, Lord, we know that You're here because You cannot lie. And so, Lord, I pray that as You are here, that we would sense Your presence. God, that Your Spirit, through His power, would teach us. And God, that You would fill me with Your Spirit to teach and to preach. And Lord, that You would anoint the ears of those who hear. Lord, that they might hear with understanding. That, Lord, You would bring transformation as You bring application to our lives of Your Word. That we might navigate this new year, Lord, in confidence that You are there for us and that You care for us. And God, Your plan and purposes are being worked out. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that has not yet given their lives to You, I pray today that You might draw them. As Your Word, Lord, goes forth, may it bring conviction. And may they sense Your love and Your life today here among this family of believers. And may You draw them to Yourself. So, Lord, speak to us now in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The title of my message is A Certain Word in an Uncertain World. You know, as I look back over this year here in the church, I recognize that God is continuing to do great things. I mean, our ministry in Mexico, we continue to reach out to the community there, and we are see people's lives being changed. The church is there, and the Word of God is being taught. And God opened that door for us years ago, and it's been an effective ministry. The Philippines, we went over there, and we built a church, not a massive sanctuary, but a place where people can meet out of the wind and the weather and hear the Word of God taught. We established the church in Africa and continue to go over there to support and to encourage the ministry over there in Africa. And God is doing great things over there. So we look out and we see the opportunities that we have had to reach out into the world from this church. We also have had opportunities here. We have the Easter sunrise service, which every year, surprising to me, because as a heathen, I wouldn't be at a sunrise service. I mean, if I was not a Christian, you wouldn't catch me at a sunrise service. It's too early. It's too cold. And so, but every year we see people come out and get saved. And just, it goes on and on every year. And more people are added to the kingdom of God. We have we've fed in Thanksgiving. Many, and at our own, we did a Christmas outreach this time to feed the homeless and the needy. And there were over 150 people that we fed right here in the small sanctuary there. And so God is doing a work, and people's lives are being changed, and the love of Jesus is being shown, and God is continuing to do great things. Why? Because we have a great God, and He's presented us with tremendous opportunities in this community where we live, as well as reaching out into the world. And so God is doing a great thing, and I'm looking forward to what He's going to do in this next year. I don't think He's done. I think He's got even greater things to do through us as He works in us by His Spirit. And we live in a world with great opportunity because as you look around at the world, I don't know about you, but I'll tell you, for me, when I watch the news for any amount of time, I'm going, wow. I don't know if it's just, you know, folks, I honestly don't know if it's just the ability to have things in real time. You know, and they're coming at us in real time because of the communication and the technology. I don't know if that's what it is or if, you know what, things have changed radically. But it seems to me that the world is gone a little bit, well, a lot crazy. I mean, it's crazy out there. I've never seen the situation in Washington be as crazy as it is. I've never seen the kind of turmoil and the lawlessness that isn't just in this country alone, but is expanding all over the place. And there's all these divisions and all these contentions, among nations and peoples. And there are all kinds of problems that we face. And things, well, it used to seem like at least they were stable to some degree. But now, I don't know, is it me? It seems like, well, the stock market goes way up and then it goes way down. I mean, Christmas Eve, the stock market's plummeting, and we hear on the news, the stock market's plummeting, it's down, it's down, it's down, it's down. And then, next day after Christmas, stock market opens back up, boom, it's up, it's up, it's up, it's down, it's up, it's down, it's... What is going on? Listen, there's a lot of uncertainty. I believe that's the reason that a lot of young people are checking out. They look around and they, you know what, man? Suicide is rising. It's increasing, you see, because people look around and they see the instability and the uncertainty and they go, well, you know, the insecurity, what is going on, all the potential problems that could come. We see the earthquakes, the tsunamis, the things that we can't control. We see, you know, all kinds of crazy weaponry being made and the kind of thing among nations where we're on the verge of war and there are wars going on. And Jesus said it would be that way towards the end. There would be wars and rumors of wars and nation among nation and ethnicity among ethnicity and people fighting and contending, you see. And that makes for instability. That makes for problems, you see. Is there any such thing today as a sure thing? I remember the statement when I was younger that my dad would use, I'll tell you what, here's what's going to happen, and you can take that to the bank. Take that to the bank. Can you anymore? Is there anything anymore that you can take to the bank? You say, my money. But how stable is that? You know, you see the banks and the scandal going on in the banks and where is stability? Where is anything solid amidst the emotions and the contentions and the divisions and the nations? Where is it? Is there anything you can count on? Well, I believe there is. I believe there is something that you can count on that is absolutely sure. And it's here in our text this morning in verse 11. David is just dedicating the temple. And these are the words that he writes. He goes, O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation just in case you're going, what is he reading? So just so you know. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. Did you hear the phrase there? Everything is His. He is in control over everything. It says, the one who is over, at the end of 11 there, all things. God is in control, precious saints. As we enter into this new year, as we live in times of uncertainty, when it comes to the world, you see, there is something solid. There is something that brings stability. And that stability comes from the Lord. And guess what? He's in absolute control. That's what David is saying. He talks about His majesty. He talks about His glory. He talks about His sovereignty. And so that said, listen, we don't need to worry. God has a plan and a purpose. And listen, whether people believe it or not, whether people want to admit it or not, God is in control of what's going on in the world. And He has been in control through all these years, throughout the history, from the very beginning, the creation, you see. And in your life, and in my life, guess what? He's in control of everything that concerns you personally. Did you know that? I mean, think about it. From the time that you drew your first breath, you didn't choose where you were going to be born, did you? Any of you choose where you were going to be born? Go ahead and raise your hands. I'd like to see talk to you. You didn't choose when you were going to be born. And many times mom didn't either. You didn't choose who you were going to be born to. Anybody here choose their parents? No. You didn't choose your nationality. You didn't choose your talents, your abilities, your gifts, your interests, or your personality. And I know I had 5 kids and they are born with a certain bent and personality that they didn't choose. You see, the reality is we are all literally filled with designer genes. And I don't mean those that you bought in H&M or Urban Outfitters or Macy's. God designed you with plan and purpose. You specifically, He put the genetic code in you as to how big your nose would be, what kind of color hair you'd have, what color eyes you'd have, the height, everything about who you are genetically, physically, God built into you, gifting and talents, you see. God is the designer. And guess what? God is in control. And because of that, there are 3 things in this new year that you and I can be absolutely certain of. No matter what the economy does, No matter what the politicians do, no matter what happens in Iraq and North Korea and Afghanistan, these three things are not affected or impacted by that. What are they? You might write them down. They're worth remembering. And number one, God will help you fulfill His plan. There's a great verse in Proverbs that says, we make a lot of plans, but the Lord will do what He has decided. Listen, as we face and go and approach this new year, I can guarantee you that that's true for you and for me. You've got plans. It's all right to make plans. In fact, it's all right to have goals. In fact, you should have plans and goals. But here's what I say. Make them in pencil. Make them in pencil. Because I don't know about you, but I know for me, over the years, especially in the last several years, things have not gone the way I planned. I've had plans. I had a plan, but sometimes those plans that I have, God reaches in, like maybe some of you for Christmas, you had it all planned out, just how things were going to go, just what time everything was going to be done, and what time everybody was going to arrive, and how things were going to go. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'll bet you there are many of you today as you sit there, those plans didn't go the way you thought they would. You see, that's reality. And what we need to learn is to be okay with that when God alters those plans, you see. Because God's plan never changes. My plans are often changed. And the reason for that is because when God plans, He knows more than I know. And He's working on something more than just my immediate comfort and control. You see, He's working for my long-term benefit and my maturity spiritually, preparing me for life beyond this life in eternity. And because of that, you need, to let Him be free to change without frustration and you know, the exhibition of anger and animosity and bitterness and walking around with a bad attitude. When God makes a change, just say, Lord, hey, You're in control. You've got this dialed in. And His plan and purpose is best. Billy Graham's wife, Ruth Graham, once made an amazing confession when she said, had it not been for God, I would have married the wrong man 3 times. In my own life, I've seen God change plans. I've been in a heartbreaking situation where I thought things were to go one way and God took him and went completely in a different way than I ever thought. I am so glad as I look back on those things that God has changed and the broken hearts and the frustrations. I look back and I just, my wife. I mean, had I been in control and things gone, things would have been totally different. And they would have been totally disastrous. Because God knew best. Yeah, painful, but needful. God bless me with the wife that I have who is not only beautiful on the outside, but guess what? She loves Jesus with all her heart on the inside, and because of her faithfulness and love for the Lord and her character and her heart of a servant, she has stood and encouraged me and just dealt with things that are not easy, you see, that when I look back on the other options that I would have chosen, it had never worked out. Not that these people were bad people. These ladies were not bad ladies. It's just that I see how it is that God brought me my wife, who is the completer. She completes me. She gives me a perspective that I need that often I can't see. She's got a tender heart where I'm more all business. Let's get moving, you know. And so I've learned compassion from her. And so God has a plan. He changes things up. I mean, when I was at 20 years old, I had a plan for my life. You know what that was? I was going to be a rock and roll star. I mean, that was my whole thing, man. I was in bands. I was my goal was to be the next Mick Jagger. I want to have moves like Jagger. The guy still moves, though. You got to admit, he's still. He needs to settle down a little bit. He's going to hurt himself. But that was my goal. Music was my life. I ate, drank, breathed music. It was my passion. And at 21 years old, I never had a clue. In fact, it was the furthest thing from my mind to think about, I'm going to be a pastor one day and go into ministry. That wasn't anywhere on my radar. First of all, I'm a lousy student. I hated to read. I did horrible in school. And yet, here I am. Makes no sense in any way, shape, or form to the 21-year-old. But look at what God has done. He's allowed me the privilege to be part of this church family and to have opportunity to be used by Him as a mouthpiece, a messenger. He gave me a big mouth and a big voice. And He's done something that I never imagined that He would ever do. But I look now and I go, God, You're so good. I'm so glad that He took me out of that place and that plan that I had for my life and given me the privilege to fulfill Your plan, which is far greater than I would have ever imagined in my entire life. I mean, I've lived the dream in many ways. If I died today, God has done more with me and I've been allowed to do more than I could ever have imagined. By way of teaching, by way of those people that I'm involved with and the people that I have met. I mean, God is amazing. His ways are higher and they're better. You see, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 says, we should make plans out of the Living Bible, counting on God to direct us. You see, many times, part of the problems with our making plans is before we pray and seek the Lord and His counsel, we come to the Lord and say, Lord, here's the deal. Here's what you need to do today. You need to save this person. And then if you save this person, I can see how you can save that person. And then you need to work in this way. And if you do this, Lord, then I've got it all planned out for you, Lord, what needs to happen here and how you need to do it. Instead of going to the Lord and saying, Lord, you know what, here's my plan, but guess what? You're free to alter this plan and do whatever you want to do. I'm going to move in this direction as I've prayed and that I've sought You. You see, don't ask God to bless your plans. Ask God to direct your plans. I've always tell my children, I said, hey, well, you know, they go, well, what I want to do, and here's what I want to be. And listen, I don't rain on that. I'll say, hey, listen, rather than just deciding what you want to do and what you want to be, why don't you be more efficient and waste less time and go to God and seek Him and say, God, what do you want for my life? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to be? That doesn't mean you're not born again with certain bents, certain desires, certain gifts and abilities, and to move into those and maybe seek something in those areas. But sometimes God will take you, like me, with reading. I have to read. My wife reads through something, she gets it right away. I read through it, and I go, I don't know why he said that, and what's going on with this, and I got to go back and reread it. And then if I'm reading with her, she'll go, well, this. And I go, well, okay, I didn't see that. It's work for me. But you know what? It's something that God has chosen. In a different way than I would have ever imagined, He's led me and allowed me. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 in the New King James reads like this. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So Lord, we need to go to the Lord rather and ask Him, Lord, what is the next step? Where do you want me? What do you want me to do? Rather than ask God to bless what you're doing, find out again what He wants you to do. So make plans and know this. In 2019, God will help you as you plan again in pencil. As you put down those goals in pencil, give Him the freedom without your frustration to just do what He wants to do in your life. Secondly, not only will God help your plans, but God will handle your problems. One thing I know, and one thing you can be certain of, as we approach this new year, guess what? We are going to have problems. You don't have to wonder about it. You can be guaranteed of that. Every new year brings new problems. Every month, in fact, can bring problems. Every day can bring problems. But what we need to remember when the problems come our way is if you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a child of God, then we need to remember that nothing comes into our lives by way of problems unless God causes it or God allows it. You see, one of the most important components of your automobile is the engine. One of the most important components in that engine to keep your car running and to be a dependable means of transportation to take you from one place to the next is the oil in that engine. I had a friend that had a brand new Ford Explorer, drove it and paid no attention to the oil or keep any track of the oil changes, and he blew up the engine in that brand new car. Oil is important. It's needed to keep things flowing. No matter how good that engine is, without oil, that engine will not last. And an important part of that component of oil is the oil filter, because the filter is that piece of equipment that the oil travels through to take out any kind of sludge, any kind of deposits that would clog or that would get in and scar any of those parts of the engine where the oil is working to bring that lubrication, to deliver that lubrication to each part. You see, everything that happens to you and to me in this life, we need to remember that the Father is the filter. We have a heavenly Father that's a filter. To keep things flowing. To keep things from plugging up. To keep things going along smoothly and keeps us growing in our lives spiritually. And listen, everything in life that comes your way by way of problems comes, you see, with His permission. He allows it. He allows it for a purpose, and that is to bring us to a place of dependency on Him. Now listen, don't misunderstand. God does not cause everything to happen. There's a difference between what God causes to happen and what God allows to happen in your life and in my life. Whether God causes something such as crucifying His Son, He sent Him for that very purpose. Jesus was born to die, to go to the cross, to take the wrath of God, to pay the price for your sins and my sins. Somebody had to pay it, and the one that paid it had to be sinless in order to pay off the debt. He had the capital to do so as He was the sinless Son of God. He took what you and I deserve on that cross. He took our place for our sins. So God caused that to happen. But there are other things that happen because, well, it's just what happens in the world. It's not God's will. I mean, the world doesn't always do God's will, do they? But we are, and we are impacted by those things. You see, God can take a crucifixion and turn it into a resurrection. Or like He did with the Apostle Paul, God can take a jailhouse, which was, you know, something that God wasn't going, it's my will that Paul go to jail. People put him in jail. But God allowed Paul to be put into jail. And guess what? God took a jailhouse and turned it into a publishing house. From that jail, we have letters, volumes written that are helpful and needful for us as the church, as the Apostle Paul was sitting there in prison. Listen, God had a plan for that prison time. To put it another way, all of your problems, my problems, have a purpose. Every single one of them. Listen, there are no such things as accidents. For the Christian, only appointments. In other words, as I've said many times, oops, or I didn't know, or I forgot, those phrases, those words are not in God's vocabulary. He has a plan and a purpose. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 6, talking about our salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last day, that day when we will be taken into heaven, he says, listen, be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. What's Peter telling us? Peter knew the trials. Peter knew the difficulties. Peter was thrown in prison. Peter was harassed. He says, even though you're temporarily harassed by all kinds of trials and temptations, listen, Peter's telling us from experience, that's not an accident. It happens. We go through these problems. For what purpose? To prove our faith. To strengthen our faith. To bring us to that place where our trust in God is growing as we are dealing with difficulties that we struggle with. God handles problems in a way that in the long run they don't really hurt us, but they help us to do what? To become all He wants us to be. You see, the issue is not are we going to have problems. The issue is how are we going to respond when those problems come our way. And if we believe in this new year that God is in control, and if we believe, as God's Word states, that there is a purpose behind those problems, then we know that when we have them, we simply are to look past them and seek for wisdom that we might find God's purpose in them. He's got a purpose for those problems. Every one of those problems are an opportunity for God to work in us and through us. For God to work with us that we might grow in our trust in the Lord and that we might accomplish His purpose. Even in the midst of those problems, He's preparing us for eternity and teaching us to trust Him increasingly. So God will help my plans. God will handle my problems. And thirdly, and finally, God will hear my prayers. Adrian Rogers, a great Bible teacher, I loved to listen to him. He had a great voice as well. He read a verse that he said changed his thinking. The words leapt off the page and touched his heart in a powerful way. It was a Psalm 65, a verse 2. It's out of the New International Version. It reads like this: O you who hear prayer, to you all men will come. What a simple verse. What a short verse. Does anything leap off the page to you? You see, Adrian was impacted greatly by three words in that verse. O you, number one, who, number two, hear. You who hear. God, saints, hears prayer. And whatever else that means, it has to mean this. And we need to remember this in this new year. Prayer is not a waste of time. Prayer is not simply talking into the air. Prayer is not a performance that we do and try and preach words of encouragement in our prayer to someone. Prayer is communication with the Creator, with God Himself. God is waiting daily to hear from you and me. You know, as a grandparent, I have seen this in a little different light. Sometimes with your own kids, you're so busy raising them and that kind of a thing. But when you have grandchildren, because you're not all involved in that responsibility of raising them and keeping things clean and everything like that, when you don't hear from them, when you don't see them, you're waiting. When they're coming over, you know what I find myself doing? I find myself, I can't wait for them to come over. I want to hug them and tickle them and wrestle around on the floor with them. I want to take them to McDonald's and eat stuff their parents won't let them eat. And thank God for parents for a daughter and son-in-law and sons and daughters that let me do that. Even though they don't like it, there's something about when I ask them where they want to go, I just ask them. So where do you guys want to go? Like just in the back room, just now. And they come up, all the girls, and hug me. And I can't wait. Oh, they hug me. And they go, there's one missing. And so they went and got that one. And so we had a group hug in the back room. And I said, so where do you want to go after third service and to eat? And they all said, McDonald's. And I said, you know what? Nana will never buy that. So Pop will take you there some other time. But I find myself, you know, for you grandparents, for you parents right now, you don't maybe totally understand this, but if the Lord tarries, one day you will, you can't wait to hear from them, for them to come over. You know, God, our Father in heaven, loves us so much more. He wants to hear from us. And how often do I just get busy about fixing things, especially us guys. When we hear of a problem, instead of prayer, many times, what do we do first? Right, guys? All right, I'll go fix it. So that's kind of the way many times guys are wired. We feel it's our responsibility to fix it. And while we can certainly be involved in the process, hey, guess what I found? I found I haven't arrived. Okay? I'm not the big prayer guy. I mean, I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm doing a little better, but you know what? It's a battle for me. And again, I remind you, I'm not in this pulpit preaching because I have it together. There are probably many of you that are far further along in your relationship with the Lord, have far greater faith and that kind of a thing. I'm here by the grace of God, doing what God's called me to do. And I am still pressing towards that mark of the high calling in Christ. And I still have a long way to grow. Okay? And prayer is one of those areas. When I hear something, my nature is, okay, let's fix it. Let's discuss it. Let's talk about it. Rather than let's pray. Let's go to the instruction manual first. Let's go to the author. Let's go to Father. And find out what He wants. You see, that's key. Prayer, precious saints, works because God works. Prayer is powerful because our God is powerful. I love the way the Lord's half-brother James puts it when he says, the prayer of a righteous man avails much. Do you believe that? Then you need to do it. I mean, we pop up on Facebook praying. We put the little foldy hands, you know, on. And the little prayer hands. And we think, oh good, you know, I've done that praying. That's all you've done. You've said praying. And then you go to the next one. And scroll down. Praying. Go to the next one. Scroll down. Praying. Do you ever pray? I mean, actually stop and say, God, I can't imagine being in their position. And Lord, I pray for them right now. I don't know all the circumstances. I don't know what I can do. If there's something that I can do beyond praying, then Lord, show me. But God, I pray for Your hand upon that family, for Your comfort. I pray that You would take in this area and provide. I mean, do you spend any time? I'm talking to me. Okay, maybe I'm a little loud to you because I'm talking to me. So you just listen in. I need help. I've grown. But God, I have to say and confess to You that I said praying and then scrolled to the next thing. And God has convicted me as I've looked at this message and I've considered this verse and I recognize the importance and the priority that prayer should take. Do you have a list? Those of you that make lists, do you have a prayer list? People that you're praying for. I'm not saying you need to have one. Some of you, your memories are good. Great. But does your memory move you to activity, to really pray for those that are on that list? Can you look back in the past year and name any answered prayer? Anything that made a difference in your life? Does your prayer life encourage God by your faith in Him? Or does it insult God by your lack of faith in Him and your failure to come to Him? You see, there is a sure thing in this world. And that is, God will hear your prayer. God will help you to fulfill His plan. God will be there to handle your problems. Maybe the most important place to start when it comes to prayer for some of us is a confession of sinfulness to neglect the privilege of prayer. And then a willingness to turn and repent and surrender and submit more fully to Him and come more frequently to Him. One of the greatest statements in all of the Bible is in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Listen, if you've come today and you don't know Jesus Christ, the most sure thing in this life is to know that you have your sin forgiven and that you're confident that you have the hope of heaven and that when you die one day, and we all will, that you are ready to enter into life eternally in heaven in the presence of God. John, in 1 John 5:13, he says, my purpose in writing is simply this, that you who believe in God's Son will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life. Do you know that today? You see, your first prayer is your prayer confessing that you're a sinner and don't have it together and can't get it together. Then you'd be willing to turn and say, God, help me to hate my sin, to turn from my sin. And Lord, I ask you to come in and do in me first your will and change me, you see, to be more like Jesus. President Andrew Jackson understood that. He once wrote to his daughter-in-law, and I quote, knowing that we have to die, we ought to live to be prepared to die well, and then let death come when it may. We will meet it without alarm and be ready to say, the Lord's will be done. And then just before he died, he told some of his friends who had come to see him for the last time, he said this, sirs, I am in the hands of a merciful God. I have full confidence in His goodness and mercy. The Bible is true. I have tried to conform to its spirit as near as possible. Upon that sacred volume, I rest my hope for eternal salvation through the merits and blood of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why you're going to heaven, not because of anything you've done, but because of what He's done. And you put your faith and your trust not in your goodness and good deeds and your kindness and your generosity, but you put your faith in the first finished work of the one who died for you on that cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ. Listen, the only thing sure in this world is the God who created this world and gave us His Word to reveal His will so that we might do His work and that we might be confident that He who has begun a good work in us will accomplish that purpose until He comes. God is at work in your life presently, and He's got some things that He wants to do in this year that is coming, that is going to grow you and mature you and provide you with a platform and the power to preach His Word, you see, not only through your words, but through your walk with Christ. People are looking. When you say, I'm a Christian, people are watching to see what Jesus looks like. Not in the times that are easy, but in the problems that come our way frequently. They're watching then. What will they see? God help them to see Jesus. He's there to help you. He's there to handle your problems. He's there to, and He cares. And He waits to hear your prayers. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word and for the faithful, consistent ministry of Your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Lord, I thank You again for the privilege that I have enjoyed to be with this family of believers. I thank You for allowing me the opportunity, Lord, to serve them, to be used by You, to speak, Lord, Your Word. I pray, Lord, that Your Spirit would continue to do His work not only in my life personally, but Lord, in this church family, that You might continue to be honored and that people might see Your glory increasingly as in our lives, that Your love, the fruit of Your Spirit, would continue to grow as we as Your people know You and seek You. May we show You with greater clarity to those around us. And Lord, we know that this new year in front of us is going to be filled with opportunities. May we be those who are seeking Your plan. May we allow You, Lord, to lead us and guide us by Your Spirit to show Your love and Your life to those around us. And Lord, I pray if there's any here today that have not yet given their lives to You, they're not sure their sin is forgiven and that they have the hope of heaven. Lord, we look at this world and it's increasingly hopeless, and sadly and tragically many ending their lives because of the discouragement and the hopelessness. God, each person around us is an opportunity to, Lord, to intervene, to intercede, and to be that man, that woman who can carry Your message of hope and help in Christ to those that are hurting, to those that have lost hope. God, I pray if there's any in that place today, Lord, that they might come today and take advantage of this opportunity to know with certainty, in the midst of all the uncertainty, that there's a God in heaven who loves them so much that He sent His Son to take and pay the price for their sin on that cross. That they might be forgiven, the guilt taken away. Lord, that they might have the power through the person of Your Holy Spirit to change. As You begin to work on the inside, the change comes and people will see it on the outside. God, I pray if there's any that don't know You today, that they might come. That they might take advantage of this opportunity to leave here with their sins forgiven, a new person, with the power to change and break free from addiction and depression, and give them the hope of heaven through relationship with Jesus Christ.